Last week, I had the privilege of taking part in our Presbyterian Youth event called Canada Youth 2016. It was held in St. Catharines, Ontario. It was busy, it was tiring, but it was also very encouraging. It was amazing to see youth and young adults lined up for worship each night, vying for the front rows, not very Presbyterian. And worship was inspiring. The worshipers, including over 350 youth, were enthusiastic, to say the least. Together, we were reminded of who Christ is and what Christ has done for each of us and for all of us and for all of creation. Together, we became newly aware of the Holy Spirit moving in our midst, in that group, as it does at home. Over the week, in smaller groups, we were reminded of Christ's presence with us, that we are built into a dwelling place for God, not just as individuals, but as a group, that we are built and to be allow ourselves to be built into a house for God, with Christ as the chief cornerstone. Together, we discussed what it looked like in Scripture and what it can look like in our lives. It was interesting to me that as I came home, the lectionary for today actually contained that dwelling place for God, that God dwells in us, that Christ dwells in us. On a personal note, I was encouraged by St. Andrew's youth. You should be proud as a congregation to have raised and nurtured such fine young people. One took a week of holiday from work to chaperone, to mentor in faith, to make travel to this event possible for our teens. Two took part in discipleship track through actions and reflection, learning like Mary to be better disciples. One was part of the worship team and took part in leading worship each evening for over 400 people. There were five who took part in the youth track, in Bible studies and small groups, all represented this congregation well. What an amazing witness to the faith of families in this congregation. What an inspiring time for me personally and an affirmation of ministry here at St. Andrew's. But more importantly, what a witness to the risen Christ who dwells in us and among us, in whom we live and move and have our being, and whose ministry we all continue as Christians. So I come back a little travel weary with a little bit of a frog in my throat from the air conditioning, I think, but also with new enthusiasm. I know many of you have had those kind of experiences where you gain enthusiasm and refocus your energy. When you come back home with new energy, it may have been in a faith setting, in a weekend like Crucio, or a work setting like a sales conference, or a seminar that helps us with a new skill, or something else entirely. Often such times have you coming back newly inspired, newly ignited in purpose, with ideas to implement. It is wonderful to come back like that. However, once back home, once back into old routines, it can be hard to maintain that enthusiasm. This can be true on our faith journeys. We start off so well, but all too soon we can find ourselves discouraged, as was the case for the Colossians. The early church at Colossae had come to faith through the ministry of a preacher named Epaphras, who was a colleague of Paul's. As individuals experienced the risen Christ through his teaching and through the Spirit with them, they began to live in response to Christ. They grew together and together had the power to reveal Christ to the world through their words and actions. Paul talks about that as being fruit of their faith. This parallels what happened last week with our young people. Epaphras left to continue preaching, though. It's hard to lose a preacher, a minister. But the Colossians had much more to lose than that. As time passed, the Colossians began to lose their enthusiasm. Amid the culture and demands of daily living, and influenced by the thoughts and ideas around them, they seemed much more real sometimes than what they had been taught. Perhaps it showed in small arguments or unkindnesses, and less focus on others and more on themselves, a fear of the future and what was becoming of them, however looked. It became obvious that their foundation of their faith had been eroded. Eroded so much so that Paul heard about it in his imprisonment in Rome. So Paul wrote a pastoral letter to those people he had never met. He pointed beyond the specific context of the Colossians to be relevant to all Christians. He began where all faith begins, with God, and pointed to the Colossians to the reality of Christ, while acknowledging the truth of the human experience. This letter reminds people of all times of the basics of faith, thus has the power to inspire us if we will let it. In several conversations this week, as I mentioned, we've been talking about Colossians today. People shared how uplifting and encouraging they have found Colossians in their own spiritual lives. So I believe Paul's words are for you who are discouraged, but also good advice for you who are still enthusiastic. It's good advice for those of you who are new to the faith and those of you who had settled in for the long haul. Paul does not scold or judge as he does in other letters, but he comes alongside as one who understands the difficulties of the journey. He knows that the journey is hard, but life with Christ makes it worthwhile. So he points out who Christ really is. Then he points to the truth of what it means in each person's life. And then he points to something as important, the purpose of the church, what it looks like to be a disciple. Paul calls Christ the icon of God. How many of you know what an icon is on a computer screen? Most of you, right? I was going to do a whole sermon based on that, decided that it fell apart partway along. So not going to go there. But icon, the image of God. Christ is filled with all that God is. God is in Christ. In other words, Christ makes visible who God is and what God is like. And Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth, not just now, but from the beginning. And Christ is the Almighty King, the head not just of the church, but the head of all creation. And this means that Christ is also Lord of all created things. And more powerful than all that seems powerful in the world. He's more powerful than governments or multinational corporations. He's more powerful than celebrities and crime bosses. More power than sports heroes. And more powerful than those that we hold dear. Moreover, everything is held in Christ together. Everything. Paul can't say that often enough. Everything, all creation, Lord of all, he's more powerful than all. It is a wondrous vision. It is a vision we sang about this morning. Come thou, Almighty King. It is this that is the foundation for our faith, nothing else. Because the truth is beyond what we can take in. Sometimes we put it down farther. We want it to be logical. We want it to be understandable. But the truth is, it's beyond us. It's beyond our vision. And we need to be reminded of that. That Jesus is not just friend, although Jesus is friend, but Lord and God of all. And more amazing still is that Christ reaches out to us. This Christ who is Lord of all and gives us forgiveness and grace. We are forgiven through Christ. We are clean. Clean. No matter what we have done, no matter what we have become, Christ died for us while we were still sinning. And in forgiveness, through Christ, believers are able to enter into that fullness of God. That fullness of God who is Lord of all. And Jesus does not just live and love and forgive from a distance, but he comes to be with us, to live in us, but also to live in our midst. He moves into our neighborhood. In other words, Christ lives in us. Christ isn't just out there. It is true, although much of it is mystery. But what it means is we are never alone. Our faith at times may be shaky, but it is built on a solid foundation of who Christ is and the solemn assurance that Christ dwells, lives, is with us. It is this indwelling Christ that gives us the power to change, not our own power. We are to choose a life with Christ. We are to choose to listen to Christ, to listen and act beyond the rules, our own ideas, perhaps like Mary, to be open to a new way of doing things so that our service is not merely out of duty, but out of love for God, an appreciation for all that God is. It is in Christ's power that we are able to mature as Christians. Mature faith is more than understanding, more than knowledge about God, but it is growing in relationship with God, with Christ. Christ empowers us to change. Christ empowers us to endure the difficult times. Empowers us to give up bad habits, to love those who hurt us, to reach out to others, whether we know them or not. In Christ alone, we are able to see the temporary nature of the powers of the world. Through Christ's love, through Christ's presence with us, we are able to value Jesus Christ more than anything else in the world. It is this truth that gives Paul the courage to endure his suffering. In Christ, he copes with his imprisonment. He copes with persecution. He copes with an illness that will not be healed. In Christ alone, he knows the Colossians will find the strength and the wisdom they need to continue as disciples of the risen Christ, the living God. In Christ alone, it is that we have hope. We have strength to change. We have power. We have power to carry on Christ's ministry in the world. But it's not just an individual pursuit. We're not just all Marys. We're not just all Marthas. We are in this together. We are a community of disciples. This is the part of what the church is. We are to allow Christ to join us together into a house for God, into a dwelling place for God. You see, there is no union, no relationship with Christ without sharing union with all the people who God loves. If God is in Christ and Christ is in us and we are in Christ, then we are in relationship with all of creation, with all people. And as we grow closer to Christ, we draw closer to each other. You see, we're in this together. And in Christ's love, we learn to love others better and better, even those we disagree with. We are united in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ. As a group, we are to be a community of disciples. We are to help each other to be that. But we are a community of disciples, not just to feel good, not just to purify ourselves, not just to be holy, not just when it feels good, not just as a refuge from the world. Like Paul, we have a commission as individuals and as a community to reveal Christ to the world. What a privilege. What a mystery. We can reveal Christ. We can become icons of Christ, just as Christ was an icon of God. As an icon of Christ, as a living place for Christ, we can bring about God's purposes in the world by our community life, by our words, by our actions. We are to show Christ in the world, to be little Christ and to be Christ altogether. And it is the goal to help others mature in Christ, not to judge people worthy or unworthy, to present all mature in Christ. It's so much more than a concept or a lofty ideal. It was life and death to Paul. It was life and death for the Colossians. It is life or death for us. It's not just something we think, but something we become and something we do. So if you have lost your enthusiasm or grown tired, if you no longer trust the goals you've been working toward, if you are enthusiastic and desire to continue to be inspired, if you want to make a difference in the world, if you love God and want to love God more, like our youth this past week, turn again to Jesus. Seek Jesus more than the things of this world. Let Scripture remind you of who Christ is and what Christ has done for you and for all of us. And remember that this same Christ, the Lord of all creation, is in you. The one in whom all things are held together is in us. In Christ alone, there is strength to believe, strength to change, inspiration to live, and to grow together as a community of disciples. And this Christ is in us. In Christ alone, we are able to show Christ to each other and to the world, because Christ is in you. Christ is in us. Amen.